Hey, I'm John and this is your open source news Elements, sponsored by Element.fm. Get unlimited podcast hosting for just $5 at Element.fm. Now to the news. Today we're diving into a mix of engineering marvels, digital rights battles, AI-driven workforce changes, and fascinating scientific discoveries. First up, the world of simulation has just had a major boost through the dedication of one enthusiast. Over the last 3 years, Christopher Mitchell has been painstakingly building an incredibly detailed train simulator right in his own unit. What's so special about this project is not just its ambition. It's a full physical cockpit built to closely recreate the UK's Class 80X passenger trains. These are the familiar 800, 801, 802, 805, and 810 series, known for their advanced onboard systems and popularity on British rails. Christopher has scoured sources for genuine components and fabricated parts that weren't available. The result is a hobbyist's masterpiece, offering an immersive operating experience complete with working levers, functional screens, and authentic feedback sounds. Beyond recreating the functional controls, he's also programmed custom logic, so the simulator can communicate data as a real train would. Mitchell's work highlights the possibilities when passion meets engineering, especially in a small flat. His blog details sleepless nights troubleshooting sensors, designing circuit boards, and wiring up panels. His intention is to give enthusiasts, students, and railway professionals a hands-on feel that goes well beyond point-and-click desktop simulators. There's a real sense of community too, with other hobbyists and engineers following along and contributing advice. Now, onto the software side, we're seeing hardware giants like AMD raising the bar for performance. AMD's compiler team, working with LLVM Clang, have introduced a new compiler flag called -Fenable Read-Only DHP. This mouthful of an option enables something called instruction transparent huge pages at both compile and link time. But what does that mean for us? Basically, it allows programs to use larger memory pages, specifically 2 MB ones, instead of smaller, more fragmented chunks. The engineering team found that if you align your executable's text range at the linking stage, you can squeeze a lot more performance from the hardware, especially under heavy computational workloads. Benchmarks like SpecCPU and Geekbench showed significant improvements, making this quite exciting news for users who rely on high-performance and fast-processing applications. The wider implications mean everything from simulation, rendering, and real-time analytics could see noticeable gains when built with the new approach. And because the upgrade largely happens on the software side, it's immediately accessible to a huge base of users with supported hardware. These kinds of optimization stories often fly under the radar, but they represent some of the most important progress in keeping computing efficient and future-proof. Speaking of the future, let's shift gears to digital rights and legislation. Just this month, France's Constitutional Council rejected a sweeping law that would have shut minors out of social media until age 15. The law, set to take effect from January 2027, was intended to safeguard young people from harmful online content and social pressures, but the council concluded it went too far, declaring it infringed on freedom of expression as protected by Article 34 of the French Constitution. In practical terms, the ban would have treated all users under 15 as equally in need of protection, regardless of their maturity or the specifics of the social platforms in question. Critics argued that the rules didn't provide any flexibility or parental discretion, and could exclude teens from valuable digital spaces. Another big concern was the requirement for age verification to even access services. The council found this approach would heavily infringe on privacy, pushing users to share personal data or undergo intrusive checks to prove their age. This ruling now has European policymakers re-examining similar legislation elsewhere, as it highlights the delicate balance between protecting vulnerable groups and safeguarding fundamental freedoms. France's government is expected to revisit the law, trying to address safety without overstepping constitutional rights or privacy boundaries. For now, this is a reminder that well-intentioned digital regulation must be nuanced and precise. Any clumsy overreach risks hurting the people it means to protect. Let's pivot from digital freedoms to the world of work and how artificial intelligence is shaking things up, especially for young workers. A new Stanford report finds that AI-driven automation is accelerating employment declines among 22 to 25-year-olds in AI-exposed jobs, those where the work can easily be encoded or automated. Employment in these affected fields is now 19% lower for young people than in less exposed industries. That's a pretty sharp jump from a previous gap of just 13%, so the trend is picking up speed. Many of the jobs most at risk are entry-level roles in finance, administration, or IT. Tasks like basic reporting, formula-heavy spreadsheets, or routine analysis are now often handled by machine learning systems. This means today's young graduates may find many traditional, stepping stone roles have been replaced by automation. This shift doesn't just reflect technology outpacing training, though that's part of it. It's also changing pathways into careers, and it calls for more robust reskilling programs and policy responses. For businesses and educators, this means thinking strategically about how to position young employees for new kinds of value creation. For policymakers, it may signal the need for new kinds of support for displaced workers or incentives for companies to invest in people rather than algorithms alone. Otherwise, we risk deepening generational divides and missing out on the potential of digital native talent. Moving to the lab bench, a team of chemists has made a surprising finding about how bodies break down after death. Their research uncovered evidence that, in some cases, decay isn't just the opposite of preservation. It can actually act as a preservation mechanism. The study shows that when free radicals form during decomposition, they're not just breaking tissues down, they're also bonding with nearby proteins in a way that makes them harder to break apart. This cross-linked structure gives tissues an unexpected durability, resisting full decomposition, and preserving some level of structure far longer than previously thought. The implications stretch from forensic science, where understanding rates of decay can aid in investigations, to experimental preservation techniques. The results even have relevance for controversial efforts to preserve brain tissue, as in cryonics, by hinting at chemical barriers to both decay and preservation. The lesson is that decay and preservation may be less like opposites, and more like different steps along a spectrum, depending on conditions. As we keep probing these mysteries, we continue to find new intersections between chemistry, biology, and medicine. All these stories, from hands-on train simulators to compiler advances and rights debates, show just how deeply connected science, engineering, and society have become. The people pushing boundaries, be they hobbyists like Christopher Mitchell, compiler engineers, or scientists, remind us that the driving force is curiosity and the will to solve real problems. We've discussed some next steps too, like testing further improvements in Mitchell's simulator, benchmarking AMD's compiler updates, and watching for legal changes in tech regulation. We'll be keeping an eye on how AI impacts employment and what future discoveries will reveal about biological processes. There's a through line here. Whether you're building hardware in your flat, debugging new tools, or reimagining protections for vulnerable groups online, all these advancements depend on the same combination of technical ingenuity and thoughtful reflection. The real world doesn't stand still, and neither should we, so we'll keep bringing you more behind-the-scenes stories from the people and projects shaping our digital landscape. As always, if you'd like more detail on anything discussed today, reach out. I love hearing from listeners and fellow explorers. Thanks for listening.